Welcome everyone. Welcome to our Wealth in Action. Is it Turnaround Wealth in Action? Now I've forgotten what the name of the blooming course that we're on is. You know what I'm talking about. That's why I got confused. It used to be called Wealth in Action, and now it's a 10-week wealth turnaround. There we go. Call number two. Here we are. So how are we doing? Just as we've got some people joining us, type into the chat channel. I would love it if you've in a space where you can do, if you can put your videos on so we can see you. It makes it far more interactive and enjoyable. Just pop into the chat channel how you're doing today on the topic of all things wealth. And we'll give the other ladies a few more minutes to join. Oh, Nicola's hanging out the washing. Very good. We've got lots of you. Hi, let me see. Am I seeing everyone? I don't feel like I'm seeing everyone. Okay, there we go. Now I've got more of you. Wonderful. So Claire's in the office, no camera for a while. Fair enough. Good. We'll make sure you're using the chat channel. Linda's half-term kids in the background, so make it for the video. Fair enough. If you're in a place where there's lots going on and it's going to be distracting, then that's absolutely fine. So it doesn't stop you from typing to the chat channel. So let's do a quick chat. Oh, Tracy, look like I've been dragged through a hedge backwards. Oh, bless you, love. No, you don't. And I've just seen you like, you don't at all. Don't worry, I've got lights, makeup, I've got some dying flowers in the background. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to change them before today's session. They were looking good a couple of days ago, but these ones just kind of go very quickly. Gladioli, they spring up in glory and then they fold quite quickly. So whilst I'm blabbering away, type into the chat channel how you're feeling on this journey around wealth. Just a quick check-in so we can get a sense, a temperature gauge of where you're all at. So it could be one word, it could be a sentence. How are things flowing for you? So Nicola's good, Joanna's excited, great. Frida's still trying to get everything on the spreadsheet. Yeah. Claire's enjoying the accountability. And Lisa's saying it's really interesting, getting my head around it all, making progress. Good. Really excited about payday on Friday. Yes. So that I can start in earnest with a full bank account. Lovely. That'll be your first go at doing the jam jars, right? And Valinda, my number one priority at the moment is gathering lots of info regarding pensions. Yes. Lovely. So Beverly's feeling more positive than I felt in a long time. Like Frida's still on the spreadsheet. Lovely. Well done, everyone. Linda's finding it easier to talk to my family about money. The kids haven't set up the jam jars. Okay, but step by step. Julia says, being gentle on myself as other life stuff going on. Looking forward to getting some insights from the other lovely ladies on this call. Yes, wonderful. Well, welcome one and all. And wherever you're at, you're here, right? So you have made the decision to be here, to prioritize this over the many things that you have on your plate. And that commitment in and of itself is amazing and is what is going to get you to where you want to be. Because ultimately, we will have our own rhythm. We all have different things going on in our lives. And you may not always get to do every week on the week that it is. And as Jo says in one of her videos, you know, even if it takes you 20 weeks, that's fine. The most important thing is you keep plugging away. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to chip away at the old wealth block. And I specifically am here to support you in the way that I can. And also for us to be able to support each other. Because as we experienced, for those of you who are on the first call, then, you know, I'm not the be-all and end-all. I don't know everything. And some of you will have been able to investigate and dive deeper into a specific area. So you'll have some knowledge to be able to help each other. So let's pool our wisdom on this call and support each other. Because wealth is far more fun and easy to advance in when we can do it in soft power and collaboratively, right? So on that note, I think there was a little bit of a mix up with the emails. I know that one email went out saying that it was Annie going to be on the call and isn't, it's me. Hopefully you're not disappointed. And I think you might have also got week three this week. So I'm aware that there was just a little bit of a hiccup. So don't worry if you're going, oh my gosh, what's happened? Have I lost a week? You know, no, the clock's changed, but you haven't lost a week, okay? In the UK, you've just gained 1 hour, but you've not lost a week of your wealth process. It's just it came a week early. Surprise. So I'm wondering how many of you actually managed to get onto the third week. And if you haven't, don't worry. So just keep plugging it away. One video per week and you'll be grand. So, Emma did. Gold star for you. But of course, it doesn't matter, as I said. We're here and that's the most important thing. So let's jump in. I don't have any content to teach you on these calls because all the content is, you know, was covered at Be Wealth and is being covered in the videos. So I'm here to answer your questions and help you with any coaching around specific things you feel stuck on. So in what questions do you have? You might have had questions during Be Wealth or on the videos about your very specific situation you weren't able to ask. So this is the opportunity for you to be able to do that. So who's got some questions of me? And then of course, if there's something that you're still not clear on, then I can explain it a bit further. So how we're gonna do this is if you go to the participants section of your menu bar on Zoom, and when you open that up, you should have the option to put up a blue hand. And the other thing, I don't know if, I don't think there's a hand in the emoticons. I haven't got all the, as the host, I don't have all the options. So if you wanna ask a question, the easiest way to do it is put up a blue hand because not everyone has their video on, and I might miss some of you. So who's gonna pop up a blue hand? And if you're struggling, okay, Joy's saying, oh, difficulty with the sound. Oh, went in and out again, but now it's fixed. Is it fixed now? Okay, is it possible to get the transcript? So basically, if you're struggling with a sound, these calls will be uploaded into the members area, so you will be able to hear them. Let me just, oh yeah, good. That moment when I look to see, is it recording, is it not? It is, it's set up automatically, it's all good. So this will be made available in your members area. So my lovelies, questions, I'm here for you. And if you have no questions, then we can have a bit of a chat and then we can go on our merry way. But I'm sure you do because you showed up today. So what are your questions? Yeah, Joy, is anyone else having issues with the sound? No, I'm hearing shaking head, so unfortunately it's still you. Okay, so Tracy's got a question in the chat. And if you do put questions in the chat because you're in a situation where you can't speak, if you just type question at the start of it, then I can see that it's a question rather than a chat. So Tracy is asking, where would I put yoga? In housekeeping or in lifestyle? Good question. Woman after my own heart. With the yoga. I think it depends. So your subscription to your online yoga channel or your subscription to your yoga studio or going and paying for one-off classes, I would call that lifestyle. I mean, I would call that housekeeping. Sorry, let me just get very clear. And what I want to be clear on, when you're saying housekeeping and lifestyle, so basically you've got housekeeping, which is the we're suggesting is the 55%. And I think we're talking about lifestyle is that 5%. Yeah? Okay, great. So now I can see you nodding your head. Yeah, so that's your busted up once a month to have fun. So your regular yoga practice is part of your housekeeping. That's your, yes, your... Your yoga retreat in Thailand could either come out of busted up and treat myself, or it could come out of your long-term savings. Yeah, so does that make sense as a start? And that's not a silly question, by the way, because this is when we get into the nitty-gritty. It's like, oh, where does this fall? So it's in the same, for me, yoga is the same way as, you know, you pay for good food. It's the things that allow you to have the kind of housekeeping. So I would put it into that. So Frida's asking, where do insurance medical bills come? Under housekeeping? Yes. Yeah, all those things. Those things that you need to pay for to be able to live your life to an okay standard. You know how we talk about the needs creed and it's about getting yourself to okay? I think this is the kind of wealth equivalent. What's going to get you to okay? That's your housekeeping stuff. And I think Joe used a great example for those of you who have watched video 3 around clothes. So, and sometimes people have this question, kids' clothes and so forth. So again, it depends. If it is buying your running shoes because the old ones have started to get holes in them and they need to be chucked, well, then that is going to be housekeeping. If it's buying the new limited edition Nikes because you love them, then that's probably busting it up out of your treat yourself pot, okay? God, I bought myself a new pair of trainers this summer and started getting into it with my friend's husband, who's really into trainers and limited edition trainers. And God, I didn't realize how much you could spend on a pair of limited edition trainers. It's like £150. I did not. I found myself a bargain, but I still love them. So what other questions have you got, my darlings? Oh, Chi, you've got your hand up. Unmute yourself, my love.
Hello, hi. I've just pulled over and parked in my car, so it was random. Hello. I've just got a question about talking to kids about money.
Yeah.
And forgive me if that's not what we should be talking about here, because I missed the very beginning. So
Yeah, all welcome.
From the weekend. And I just started. So one of my commitments was to do that and to talk to my kids about the jam jars. And I suppose sort of pointing to more resources for that and sharing of ideas would be helpful. I think my youngest, who's only 5, she just wants to buy things all the time because she's got this fun pot. And I'm just trying to show her about, it's difficult, I'm finding it difficult to explain the grow to them in because they're a little bit too young to understand about interest, I think. Mm. Perhaps not. Quite impressed. It sounds like Joe's son has picked up that very, very well. But I just sort of looking at for more resources or ideas or where to teach them.
Yeah. So basically, what specifically are you finding challenging in your conversations with your kids around this?
Thank you. I think it's just that it's opened up to them that they just want to spend money all the time now. Because they
Oh, you've just cut off. Can you hear us?
I think just put it in. Sorry.
So that what I did, I heard that they want to spend money all the time. However, they've only got a limited pot.
That's right. Yes. So previously they had spent. They didn't spend it at all. They just put it in the money box. And now that I've sort of opened up this concept of you can spend some of it and save some of it to invest and then give some to charity, they just want to spend it all. It's okay. I mean, I can handle this. I just raise it as a question in case just to float the idea, really.
Yeah. So one, I would for those of you who are parents and have kids that are, either your own kids or kids that you are responsible for, stepkids, guardians for, and so forth, who've had these kind of conversations and have tips, and definitely put it into the chat channel. An idea might also be if somebody starts a thread in the B1 group saying, 10-week wealth turnaround, conversations with kids, and everyone can put in their ideas so it's in one place, I think that would be really helpful, because it's one of these ones where there's no set rules because each child is individual. Mm-hmm. I personally haven't had to have these conversations because I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. However, what I would say is I wouldn't get too worried. It then allows you to continue in that conversation. It's like, okay, so the idea is, yes, you have a pot to be able to spend stuff. Mm-hmm. However, you've also got these other things. And in fact, that's the smallest pot. Mm. And try and, how did you tap them into how they were feeling? So how did you feel when you saw that you kept putting money into the box and it was kept getting bigger? What did that feel like for you? And they might say, oh, it felt really good. It's like, okay, great. So that's why we have the grow jar, because we want to be able to grow our money. And what that means is in the future, you're going to be able to do far more than you would with it now. Now, I guess the trick is for very young kids is to, you know, the grow jar is about something so far in the future that they may not necessarily have that real concept around it. You know, whereas we can get, it's like, oh gosh, I am going to get old one day, I need to retire. So I'm definitely open to ideas if anyone else has ideas around how to get that concept to really land. Nicola's got a hand up. Do you want to unmute and share?
Hiya. So, Chi, hi there. I'm really aware that I can't go from zero to hero with this whole thing. I've got like a twit teenager, I've got a junior school boy and an infant school boy. So I've got a range of ages, and we've never really, because I have personally never engaged with money, and neither has my husband. They have also not engaged with money. So I feel like I'm learning all this stuff, and I'm having to almost step back myself because I'm constantly vomiting information at my husband and my children, or I was after the weekend, and they weren't ready for it to land with them because I, you know, they're just not interested in the way I am. So what I've done with my children is, thanks to last week, I asked about what I should do with my children, the accounts. I got them the Go Henry cards, which is going to cost me £9 a month just to have the cards. So that's interesting, because I wouldn't have done that weighing up even before. You know, that's another thing that's now coming out of my monthly expenses. But what I'm doing with it is I'm giving them each a weekly amount of money. And to begin with, they're actually having quite a small amount going into the savings and a small amount into the giving. It's so small that for the younger one, it's incremental, dependent on the age, that I don't think he's still got enough to spend. It's not an extravagant amount, but he's got enough. If he wants to buy a magazine, or if he wants to get something that week, he can, or if he wants to even hold it back. Can you just, and that's one of them walking in the room right now. If he wants to then not spend anything that one week, already in 2 weeks, even without the little savings pot, he's got a little bit more money. So I'm trying not to run before I can walk with explaining, to trying to get the concepts to them before. But what I did with my older son is we set up his account, and I talked to him in a bit more detail, and then I showed him my new Starling account, you know, and I was showing him how I've set up the little things in my account and what money I have. And again, I would have never done that before, because I was brought up to never show people about money, never talk about money or anything. So that felt really weird for him to see into my current account. That felt really weird. But I'm just going with the spirit of talking about money and him seeing how the example of what I have. So we're doing it slightly different to the way it's been put forward, but it's working for our family. And I think hopefully they will then, I don't feel for my youngest son, it's been enough weeks for him to be able to grasp anything. But I'm hoping that maybe by the end of this year, he'll be able to start seeing that that little pound going in every week has come to a nice amount. And he already doesn't want to spend this week's money, because next week he wants to get something. So he's sort of doing two lots of savings. That sort of makes sense, but that's the only way I've been able to cope with it, because I was trying to give them too much information before, and I think it was overwhelm for them.
Thank you, Nicola. Thank you for sharing your perspective. It's really helpful to hear different perspectives around this. And I think the key, particularly when they're young, the key thing is it has to be connected to what they can relate to and what they emotionally respond to. So the starting point is, wow, let's buy lots of stuff. And then you can say, okay, so how does it feel? You know, if you think about, like, if you imagine, if you keep buying stuff and buy more stuff and more stuff, and your whole room is full of stuff, how are you going to feel about all this stuff that you've bought? And lead them to their own conclusions around it. And they'll probably say, well, you know, just imagine having 5 Christmases in one row. How excited are you going to be to have another present? Not really. So you're kind of teaching them that principle of, you know, there is a limit to how much satisfaction you're going to get from spending. And then if you can compare it to something like, how good does it feel when you do something for somebody else? You know, and you can see somebody need, like, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's an animal, or, you know, I don't know if your children, sometimes children might want to, you know, say, oh, can I give a pound or something to the person who's homeless? You know, how good does that feel when you do that? Well, that's why we have the giving jar. Because actually, you think it's going to feel really good to buy loads of stuff, but then by comparison, Does it feel better or worse when you give and you help to somebody else who actually needs it? It's like, ah. Oh. So if you can have conversations where you're not giving them some information and then quashing them for doing it wrong, but going, okay, so what have we learned from this? And then show them the differences and why it's important. Then, as Nicola pointed out, it's a journey.
That's really lovely, that the bringing in their feelings. That's definitely something that I had missed, that sort of to bring out what are the different concepts. It also helps me to understand what they understand. So that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with the grow and invest, it's like as Nicola was saying, if you're able to put aside money, it means in the future, like, wouldn't you want to be able to save up and get, like, what's something you'd really like? And they may say, well, if you keep putting it away, the money can grow and allow you to say buy that. Now, I know I'm slightly mixing concepts here, because there's a difference between your grow jar and your long-term investment to save it. But I think the key thing is to tie it into things, concepts that they can understand at their level and their own drivers as young little beings, and see if you can always be encouraging and make it fun and draw on those things that really relate to them, that are helpful.
Excellent, thank you. And what was the Go Henry?
So the Go Henry, these spending cards that you can set up for your kids. Mm-hmm. So I guess you preload a certain amount of money onto it, and then they can use it. So it's like a kid's credit card, but they buck wild and rank massive debt. Yeah. Lovely. So yeah. So my suggestion, I know, I think Joy was asking, my suggestion is on this, I think it would be a great topic because there's so much for us to learn. Is within the B1 group, if somebody starts a post specifically on this, and if you use hashtag 10WWT and then maybe kids or something, then everyone who has a perspective to share, you can post comments beneath that one post, and it's all kept in one place. And just, you know, in the post, put some really like obvious search terms that people might search for, because that means what you can do is you can go into the B1 community, you can go to the search bar, type that in, and it'll bring up that post, so you'll always be able to find it. And then if everyone pools their wisdom underneath it, it's a really great way to be a resource for one another. So that's what I was suggesting. If somebody wants to do that, you know, feel free to type the chat channel, yep, I'm happy to start it, and then I'll leave you all to rock and roll with that one. Thank you, Chi.
Excellent, thank you.
So who's next? Any other, let me see, if I think there might have been some questions that popped in here. Dun, dun, dun. It's gone fast in the chat channel. If you do have a question and you want to raise your hand, do that whilst I'm having a quick look. I'm sure I saw, oh, here we go, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, I think I answered the one about there isn't a Be Wealth Facebook group, it's just the B1. And we've got a question here from Frida. How far do I go back in regards to recording expenses for this year? I've only been tracking my household expenses since July. Well, it depends. So I would, you know, if you are looking for to figure out your financial set point, then you'll wanna have a sense, maybe not in super granular detail, but overall what your expenses are, so you can get a sense of what your set point is. You know, obviously the further back you can go, the more information you have around your spending that then informs the percentages. Because remember, the jam jars, the percentages that we gave you are suggestions. And then I would say they're the optimum for somebody who's got everything in alignment, you're earning enough, you've got your rainy day fund, you've got all these things in place, and those are the optimum. But then you need to make it, you know, specific to, you know, relevant for your specific situation now. And the only way you can do that is if you understand your spending. So if you get a sense that, you know, certainly your housekeeping is probably the primary thing to be setting, you know how much income you're getting, and then you go back at least 6 months and have a and track that and see, okay, well, how much money do I need to actually cover all of the essentials? Then you can calculate what you what your what that is as a percentage of what you're earning. So that's where it becomes really informative for you to be able to do that. And then moving forward, you keep doing that. So you're aware of your spending. Does that answer your question, Frida? Yeah, cool. And, you know, as for those of you who haven't yet watched the video 3, Joe's going to explain that really it's important that for the jam jars, you do set percentages that work for you. And going through this process of understanding what your expenditure is versus your income is going to give you a really good insight around things that, you know, how you set the percentages and also what you may need to be changing. So if you're in a situation was it JJ? I might be pulling things out of my head. I remember on the Be Wealth, it was, somebody shared that the housekeeping portion was actually quite a big chunk of income. And it's like, okay, right. So that gives me information that I need to be increasing the amount of income I'm making, you know, and looking for strategies to do that. If you find yourself and you don't have a rainy day fund at all at the moment, then really, I personally think in this climate, you should always have a rainy day, but it's really important to get that set up, especially if you find yourself in any somewhat precarious situation from a career perspective and an income perspective. So if you're somebody who, you know, you work for yourself in an industry that's been really hit hard by COVID, and I don't know, maybe I know somebody who was running a holiday tours as their own business, and that's taken an absolute beating. If you know that you're in a very precarious situation, then you want to be building up your rainy day fund as quickly as possible, I would say. And whereas there's been that, you know, in the past we've loosely suggested around 3 months, that tends to be a suggestion. And I wonder if in these times we should be considering, I'm certainly considering, I've got a 3 month rainy day fund. I haven't really topped it up in a while. And I'm now thinking not that I'm in a precarious situation, but I think maybe it would be prudent for me to actually increase that to 6 months. Joe and Greg, with the level of lifestyle and expenditures and things they have, they tend to have a bigger, longer one. So figure out the percentages. And again, the rainy day fund should be coming out of that longer term savings pot. Now, see what works for you. I know when I remember that story I told you about being in that tricky financial situation, having to build up, I had a very, very tiny, tiny growth percentage because I wanted to be putting more into my rainy day fund. Oh, I'm just going to mute someone. I wanted to be building up my rainy day fund and paying off my debt. That was what was more important to me than the growth fund. I'm not saying, again, none of this is advice. I'm just giving you some ideas. So there was another question here. So Nadine is saying, I pay £10 a month to the postcode lottery, and I noticed that a number of charities are going down the same route for regular investment with the potential to also win something back. Where would this sit in terms of jam jars? This is giving. Yeah, that's a classic giving. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Unless you have more questions, I think that's an obvious one. Let's see. I'm going through the chat and scrolling through for questions. So if you have put a question in there, start it with questions. Okay. When you type it in, put question first and then I can find it really easily. Otherwise, I'm going to assume you are. So Belinda's saying, is there a reason why we post in the B1 rather than the Hearth? Yes, because the Hearth is for living the change. And not everyone on this program is on living the change. So the Hearth is the receptacle for paid. No, the Hearth is the group that is aligned with living the change, and then also we moved to Be Powerful into that one. Or maybe I've got that wrong. That was my understanding. Any questions? Hands, questions? I don't see. Have you? Oh, Tamsin, is that a hand? That's a physical hand, is it? Yes. Unmute yourself, my love.
I didn't manage to get on the first one of these, and I haven't caught up on it yet. I've been telling myself I would, and I haven't yet, so my bad. I just was interested to know, like, I've had a few chats via Facebook with a couple of people that have been checking in, but just curious to know what people have managed to move forward on since the retreat. Is that an okay question?
Yeah, it's not a question I can answer.
No.
So I think if people want to type into it, I think we had some already, some people saying at the start of the chat channel, I asked how you're going, and lots of people were typing in where they're at with things. So you might want to have a look. And if people want to quickly type into the chat channel where they're at. But I think basically I'm going to answer the question you're not asking, which is people are at very different levels. And if you haven't been able to keep up to the level that you had hoped when you came out of Be Wealth, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and probably exhausted with all these great intentions, that's okay. So it's certainly not something to beat yourself up around. Is that where you find yourself?
No, I'm not beating myself up. What's kind of been extraordinary, it's only been a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And like there's loads of great opportunities and sort of things that suddenly feel, I don't know whether I'm just like more eyes open or there's just stuff that's kind of come my way. But I think the thing that I know I need to do is about that accountability kind of, you know, the kind of just actually measuring things, having those conversations. I'm remembering, like, you know, having a conversation with my other half about what his spending is and all of that. So where are you at?
Where are you at? What have you managed to do since Be Wealth?
Well, I've managed to sort out a couple of investments which are underway, which they've taken longer than I thought to set up, but that is something that will just tick away and do its thing. So that was about diversifying. I've wanted to and sort of procrastinated around getting an additional property. I already have one that I rent out, and actually something quite exciting has come up off the back of that. So moving forward on that.
Have you managed to watch any of the videos?
No.
So what's getting in the way?
Being really busy doing all the other stuff, like doing rather than back office stuff.
Mm. Okay. Well, so you're making progress.
Yeah.
And the key thing is what you might, I don't know what your, have you ever come across talent dynamics or wealth dynamics?
No.
Okay, that's fine. It's something we cover in Be Fulfilled, but sometimes women have done it anyway. Don't feel that it's something you need to do, but you may find, are you somebody that tends to like to get into action and move forward with things and learn as you go? And
yeah.
So you're going into your natural flow around this, and your weakness around, like the, I mean, if you call it a weakness, the thing that has the downside of that is not necessarily taking time to pay attention to the detail, go into things and so forth. And that is the piece that is likely, that tendency is likely to be the reason why you're not where you would like to be from a wealth perspective. Because unfortunately, with all of this Be Wealth, it does require some attention, particularly upfront. It does require you to be accountable to yourself. It does require you to go into some of the detail. And that's not your natural tendency. So you've done really well to get going on certain things. However, if you stay with that flow, then there's a whole piece that you'll be missing out on, which is a really important foundation for these principles. So know that you'll have a natural preference and that you'll need to do things to be able to support yourself to get the other piece, the more granular piece, in place. And so what are some things you might be able to do to support you to take some time to watch the videos and to do the exercises?
Well, to actually put it in my diary so that it's there and then other things fit around it, rather than thinking I'll fit it into the gaps in between, because that hasn't worked for the last month. I think also actually it's like it's a news flash, but it shouldn't be. But some of that stuff I can totally, in terms of some of the nitty gritty, I could outsource and get somebody who's better at that kind of thing. Yeah. And enjoys it more to do some of the donkey work on it, I think. So yeah. I set up, so there's from the, in the summer, there was like a intro to the Be Wealth that we all signed up to, mm-hmm. to be on the retreat. And there were some suggestions of some accounting type packages, mm-hmm. or whatever. Looked into one, didn't like it, and then ended up I've signed up with Buxfa. Mm-hmm. You heard of Buxfa?
No.
So you can, like, if you've got different bank accounts and different cards that you use and whatever, you can have it all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that is doing some of the stuff automatically by itself. It's mm-hmm. just the actually looking at it. It's not what interests me. So,
yeah. Well, that's great. So you've already got two ideas. So when is a time for you, that you can commit to setting aside to do this stuff?
I'm just watching my diary each week for a little slot for a couple of hours to check in on things. And I think actually it's one of those things when you actually are looking into it, it's more interesting than... Mm.
Is there a day and a time where you know you tend to be free, where you can set up a regular date with yourself, a money date?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my diary, looking at when that might be.
Yeah, and I'm being a coach and getting some commitment from you now. Yeah. So when? Yeah. When? Yeah.
I think that Thursday morning would be as good a time as any, sort of straight after the school run.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Let's get that in. There we go. Let's get into action, as you like to do, huh? And the other thing you can think about, and this is something for some of you, if you're finding it a bit, you know, like, oh God, the thought of sitting there and going through your expenses is just like the dullest thing ever and you want to avoid it at all costs. One, you could find somebody who finds it easier than you to walk it through if it's difficult, or if it's just a matter of, oh, then you could set up a Zoom working hour with some other people where literally you get a bunch of you who say, yeah, I'm up for doing it on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. We're going to set aside an hour. We're all going to jump on a Zoom and you don't have to actually necessarily, you know, talk to each other. So it's like, this is the time. It's almost like we're doing a virtual co-working space and we're all going to look at our expenses or whatever we need to do. And there's something about doing it at the same time with other people and all being there that makes it far more fun and easier to do. And then if you do have any questions as you're going through, you just quickly like, oh, well, you know, what do you think about this? That's probably what I would, if that's resonating for any of you, I would really recommend that you set up that that wealth co-working space, just so that you can accompany each other while you do the stuff that might feel dry and boring and you want to avoid at all costs. I say this as somebody that does not enjoy going into the nitty-gritty of money. I have to really force myself. And then the funny thing is, though, once I do, I actually really get into it and it's quite fun. There's something about being aware and being on top of things and it's like, oh, yeah, great. But it's only when I'm in it beforehand, I'm like, oh. So thank you. Does that help you, Tamsin?
Yeah, good. And I put it in the diary for 9 till 10:30 on Thursday the 5th as a first thing. If anybody wants to join on Zoom, that's fine.
Fabulous. You know, just pop into the chat channel or reach out to Tamsin on Facebook. And if it's something that you would like to lead on, Tamsin, I'm not pushing this on you at all. Again, you might want to just put a post in the B1 and say, listen, I'm going to do a co-working 10-week wealth turnaround, co-working Zoom space, you know, join me if you want to, here's the link type thing. Lovely, thank you. Joy, you've got a question. Do you want to unmute yourself, my love? Oh, you've typed your question above. Sorry, I've just seen that. Let me find. Oh, gosh. So it's around the hearth. Yeah. So what is our hearth if it's not that place? There is no specific Facebook group for Be Wealth. There is just the B1 group. And you're saying, well, there already be threads from other groups. You've been through this. It feels like redoing stuff. And I understand. Yes. So don't worry about what's happened before, because the group moves so quickly. And lovely Facebook can just save and hold all that stuff. Focus on you ladies now being able to come together at this point in time and collate your experiences. Of course, if you want to do a search in the Facebook group for speaking to kids around money or whatever and see if there's something else, absolutely. I just think right now you collectively have got the energy of supporting each other. You've been through this experience together. You've got that investment in each other's improvement and progress around this stuff. So I wouldn't worry about what's been before. I wouldn't worry about it popping up and other people going, oh, what's this? That's what I would encourage you to do. And then other people get to see and reap the benefits in the B1 group and be like, oh, wow, maybe I should be on Be Wealth. So Joanna's saying, in the videos, Joe references various books and a reading list, but I can't find the reading list. Does it come later, a video, or have I overlooked it? Does she say she's going to send a reading list? I haven't heard her say that. And I haven't rewatched all the videos again yet, because I watched them a while back. So I think the thing is, if she's suggesting things in the videos, I would recommend you take note of them then and there, because there may not necessarily be a reading list. I haven't seen, I'm just looking in the resources, me with my multiple devices. Can we wealth turnaround? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't see a reading list. So if there's one that you were thinking of, you heard in a video, then pop it in the chat channel. Somebody else might remember. Okay. Oh, she does talk about a reading list. Oh dear. Well, there we go. She keeps referring to a reading list twice. Oh my goodness. Once in each video. Ah. Note to Stephanie. Where is reading list? I'll follow up on that for you, my loves. Note Stephanie's attention to detail when watching videos. No, but I'm watching it through a particular lens. I'm not in your shoes going, oh, I need to read that book. So that's why I might have skipped it. Just making excuses for myself. So 10-week wealth turnaround. I will get on that and see. Yeah, so Lynn Twist, The Soul of Money is definitely one that was referenced in the training. And Rich Dad, Poor Dad, yeah. Oh, yes, and let's... Catherine Morgan, that's our Catherine Morgan. Is she on here today? Can't see. No. Yes, let's read her book too. Any other questions, my dears? Pop your hand up if you are able to be unmuted. And if you're not, pop it into the chat channel, starting off question. Anything that you're not clear on? Oh, JJ. Hi, unmute yourself, my love. Oh, you're not unmuted yet. There you go. Oh, we still can't hear you. Hello? Can anyone else hear JJ? No. Have you got... I'm trying to think what the thing might be. So it must be your mic. Is your mic on mute? Have you got volume on mute? No. Have you got headphones in? Maybe take out the headphones and see. Maybe your mic's... There you go.
No?
Yep. The mic's not working on your headphones.
My query is about finding IFAs, an accountant,
an accountant as well. So I'm trying to get a bit more organized and sort of interview C3. I've got one at the moment, but I need to find another two.
Oh, good. So you're doing what you're interviewing your IFAs to be able to get quotes like you would a builder. Very good. Lovely. And so obviously we have you connected with the IFAs that were part of the mentoring table?
I'm in the process of doing that one. So I need another one and also an accountant as well.
Okay, great. So what's your situation? Are you freelance, limited company, employed?
I'm working part-time. I've got quite a large rainy fund money. So I'm quite, you know, blessed.
On the rainy day fund.
But my thing is like, because there's so much information, I don't know what to invest in. Mm-hmm. I've got an idea. I'm in the process of buying a property, but obviously that's quite a slow process, especially what's going on at the moment. So really it's just knowing, I don't know, I just need a bit more sort of direction, because there's a lot of choice out there, so it's knowing what to focus on.
Looking
at stocks and shares, that kind of thing.
So I would, this is one where I would see, you know, who else has used an IFA that you can recommend that you know is good, you had a good experience with for JJ, and pop that into the chat channel so that you can do your comparison. What I would say when you're looking for IFAs is currently I don't have an IFA that I use, so I can't recommend. I have an accountant that I use. I'm not going to recommend, but I use Crunch Accounting. And the reason I use Crunch, I have a limited company, and they also operate for sole traders. And the reason I use Crunch is because they have an online platform that you can use, and also accountants behind that. And you pay a monthly fee, and you get access to both. I know some platforms it's just the software that you use. Whereas Crunch have both accountants and software. And when I did my research, I mean, this is now, I set my limited company up 6-7 years ago. So this is a while, and I found it to be one of the most affordable options for that totality. So I'm just gonna throw that name in the hat again. Really, I mean, I find the platform pretty intuitive to use. They've got a great support team that will answer questions whenever. And then behind that, they also have accountants. So you can say, listen, I've got this issue, and they'll set you up with a conversation with the accountant. They also do my company accounts and so forth. They can do your personal accounts if you want them to, you pay them an extra fee. So for me and what my setup as a limited company, VAT registered, I found it really helpful. I'm not good. I'll put my hands up. You know, I think you probably guessed this by now. I'm not great on being on top of these details and deadlines and remembering when I have to pay my VAT and all this stuff. And so the platform will send through reminders to me of whenever I get emails, which is really helpful for somebody like me. So yeah, but anyone else, if you have any recommendations for IFAs and accountants, pop that into the chat channel, and yeah, gather that up. Is that good, JJ?
Good, yeah. Any other
questions or things you're curious about?
Sorry?
Were there any other questions around that topic? Yeah. So then the other thing I would say, this is what I wanted to say, I just remembered, is I think I mentioned this last time, when you're looking for IFAs, really check and get clear on how are they getting paid? What are their fee structures? Are they getting paid by any of the investment products that they are recommending? Because if they are, then in my perception and several other people that I know, they're not fully independent. They have a vested interest in selling you something, which means even if they say that they're independent and they recommend multiple things, I think that does, that can have an influence, and they're not wholly impartial.
Yeah, they're going to be biased, obviously, to that company, because that's how they're getting
paid. And then the other thing you want to look at is in the products that they're recommending, to the extent to which you get, what's the word I'm looking for, locked in. Because I think I mentioned this last time, I know that, for example, St. James's Place, when you purchase several of their products, they can tie you in for a period and you have to pay a penalty if you want to withdraw, up to 6 years. And I think it's on a sliding scale. That may not be across the board, but certainly that's one where I know that, you know, if you want to be aware of this stuff, you don't necessarily want to be paying penalties if you want to pull out of a particular investment. So ask those kind of questions, get the information, and then make your informed decision. Does this feel right? And if you're speaking to them, and because sometimes these IFAs can bamboozle you with a lot of technical jargon, and you're sitting there getting a bit lost, and you're kind of nodding because you're thinking, I've got no freaking clue what they're talking about, but I do not want to own up to it. And if you are getting any part of you that's going, hang on a minute. They're explaining something, you're like, I don't get that, or that there's a little intuitive nudge going, then trust that and follow it and ask them to explain it, and ask them to explain it in the most noddy language possible. Because if something feels a little bit weird, like they'll sort of quickly talk through the fees or something, you're like, I don't really get it, but something about that isn't sitting right. Trust your intuition. That's your sorceress going, there's something maybe not fully in alignment with what you're looking for. And don't be worried about taking your time and asking them to explain things really simply, because it is complicated a lot of the time. And they may just be so used to talking in, just like when you talk to lawyers, you know, I used to be a lawyer. We can get so involved in our world of legal jargon that we'll start talking about things, explaining a contract to a layperson, and the person's just going, I really notice this when I've got with my business partners, and they'll look through a contract and I'll look through a contract, and some things that I find so simple, they get bamboozled by. So those are some tips to help you in those conversations.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. So I saw some more questions coming through. Yeah, so we've got Rebecca Roberts. She was one of our roundtable mentors. So was Mary Waring. So there's already two. And I know that Catherine Morgan is, although I think she's moving more into coaching now. So just checking for question. I think somebody asked me why I don't have an IFA. I saw that pop up. It's just that for me right now, I'm clear on where I want to be putting my money, and I don't really have any ambiguity around that. So I don't personally want to pay for somebody that I don't feel I need right now. But that may change, you know, because I've got my pension set up. Again, I've got my SAS pension. I control it. I own it. I don't need any pension advice. And I've got the organization that I have it set up with. They've got people that I can speak to around my SAS. I invest. I put money into a low cost tracker, and I put my money into that set up. And then I'm doing things with my pension money around property. So that at the moment, that's as much as I want to do. And I think my next step will be more around property. So for me, an IFA is not what I need. And that's, I think that's a great learning to not always feel you have to have an IFA if you've got things set up. I think it's definitely worth having the conversation to figure out whether you need one or not. But again, don't feel obliged because you're hearing this stuff going like, I must have an IFA, I must have an account, I must have all these things, I must have a bookkeeper. Get the information that you need to be able to make the right decision for you. Don't just do it because, and start incurring fees and costs that will reduce your money and wealth if it's not something that you truly need. If you're at square one and you have no idea what pension, what stocks and shares, all this stuff, then absolutely an IFA will be useful. If you've a little bit more evolved, then maybe yes, maybe no. You know, do remember, and of course we've got IFAs in our community, that they are seeing things from their lens and their world and what they think is going to be important. So for example, if you speak to an IFA, they will never speak to you about the SAS pension that I was talking to you about last time, because it's not a regulated product. and IFAs can only deal with regulated products. And I use that not to say that it doesn't mean IFAs are good. I use that to just illustrate the fact that there is always a limit to anyone's expertise and what they can support you with, okay? So we want to get one level above and make conscious decisions around these things. So Beverly, I'm finding it very time-consuming recording expenditure. The bank account stuff is okay, but lots of our spending is on the credit card. Is it best to go through this carefully and log everything? It's a huge thing now, but I will see it easier going forward. So what I did was I just carrying around a little notepad, even doing the tracking app. I really tried. I mean, one notepad, that's just never going to happen with me. Then I did have a tracking app, and they're actually really good. You can get some really simple, intuitive ones. And I think that's a great thing to do for a while. I also, who I am, I struggle to keep that up over the long term. What you could do is everything's on the credit. I also, like you, I put everything through a credit card, pretty much everything, and then pay. I have an automatic direct debit to pay it off. I was doing it back in the days because I was collecting air miles, which is kind of pointless. And then they stopped doing air miles onto this particular credit card, and I haven't changed credit cards yet, but I've kept this one because they don't charge me fees for using it abroad, and I used to travel a lot for work and also for holidays and families. So if you're putting everything through one single credit card, then you can get the statement and go through it that way. But the beauty of if you use something like, I think Starling Bank and I think Monzo, they will have as part of the platform, they divvy it up for you and then they show that. I don't know if anyone's using that and can, yeah, Claire's nodding her head. So that can be a way to make it easier for you. So in the short term right now, if you're wanting to get a track and a sense of your expenditure, then maybe for you, if you have been putting everything through a credit card, is to get the statement and then do it that way. And then moving forward, you might want to do the same thing, like do it retrospectively or set up a Monzo or a Starling account so that it can do it for you. Or if you're somebody that does like apps, then putting it into the app. I think the more steps that are involved for me personally, the less likely I am to do it. The more platforms I have to navigate. So that's me. I don't know. I see you nodding your head, so that might be the same for you. Lovely. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just feeling a bit overwhelmed with how much I've got to got to track at the moment. Pre-children, I used to do my spreadsheet and keep track of everything monthly, but it's, you know, I haven't done that for over 20 years. So it's just trying to get to it.
Yeah, maybe, you know, getting the printing off a statement, getting some different colored pens, like, you know, getting some different color highlighters and just going through and categorizing things. So it's like kids expenditure, travel. So you group things together and you just go through the highlighter and just go blue, that's blue, 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 blue. And then you tot up all the blues and then orange, 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 tot all them up. So that might be an easier way. Rather than seeing it as lots of little individual things, create categories that make it easier that you can color code.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I tried an app, but I was finding it's not sophisticated enough. And although you can recategorize things, I haven't found the time to do it. And so it's not serving me at the moment. Yeah,
and I think what's really important with all these things is to find the path of least resistance for you. To be aware, as we were talking, I think it was with Tamsin. It's like be aware of where our natural inclination is, and maybe our default where we like to go, and maybe some of the downsides of that, and try and bolster that. But also, find ways that do suit you so you can set things up moving forward. There is no point if you're not somebody who finds this in your natural flow to have some super complicated multi-step tracking process that you're going to fall on the first hurdle. It just isn't. So it can find ways to make it as simple but still effective for you.
Yeah.
There's no hard and fast rules.
No. That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Any questions? Pop up your hand if you do. I think I saw. Nicola's like, can you repeat that? I don't understand. Sorry, I do understand. Good. Great. Yes. Lovely. Just going around full circle there. Any other questions? Okay. Emma, you have a question around property. Do you want to unmute yourself? Can you speak?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm in a slightly odd situation at the moment because I'm in the middle of building a house, which seems to be taking forever. So all our savings and growth money is going on trying to finish the house. But then in the new year, I'm also going to inherit another house. So I will actually have three houses. And I feel like I need to start thinking now about how I can make the most of the assets and manage that money that potentially I will be able to earn from. Obviously, I've got to live in one, which will be the new one that we're building. But I'll have the house I live in now either to sell or rent out. And then the other house has got a long-term tenant, so I'll have a rental income from that one. Mm-hmm. But I could really do with some advice on how to best use those assets to start to build. I've never saved for the future. I've always been a kind of got money, spend it, not got money, go and find some more kind of person. So this has been really focusing on my mind, especially doing the spreadsheets, which I massively avoid because it's not my happy space. But actually, it's been a massive eye-opener of our kind of joint income and my separate income from my business, because myself and my husband are both self-employed, so it's slightly complicated with how, you know, we don't have a fixed monthly coming in. So it has made my head fry a little bit, but just trying to sort of focus and plan more, because I definitely, this is something I've avoided, which is why partly why I signed up to Be Wealth, because I knew that I really needed to focus and start planning for my future, especially because my husband's a bit older and wants to retire, but I don't want to retire. I want to keep working. So the roles are kind of shifting. I've always been the homemaker, part-time business builder. But I'm putting more emphasis now into actually, I want to now start growing my income and my business. And I wasn't in expecting to inherit a house. So that's a really nice surprise, but it's also kind of floored me a little bit of, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I guess, are you seeing property investing as a wealth building strategy now that you're in a situation where essentially you are, you own a portfolio?
Yeah.
A portfolio of three or two, depending on which way you look at it. If you don't count the residential property that you live in, you've got a portfolio of two properties. Mm-hmm. And are you seeing that this is the springboard for potentially doing more property investing?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So then it's a matter of education. What you want to be doing, because there is a lot to know. You can kind of figure it out on your own with two properties, but if you're wanting to go, okay, actually, there's something we could do here, and we could continue to invest in property and grow a portfolio, and that then becomes, then you start moving up a level in the wealth. Gosh, my brain's getting fried. The wealth levels, that I can't remember what those are. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Up a level, yeah. to an investor. And yeah. So I would find some property investment education courses that can get you educated for the type of property investing you're thinking of doing. What I would, again, these are just recommendations. I'm not telling you this is what you should do. But I think if you're not sure on the type of strategy you want to follow, because there's lots of strategies in property, you can be, you can be buying properties for buy to lets, and that's your strategy. You could be developing properties to be able to sell them and flip them, as they call it. You know, you might want to work in residential, you might want to work in commercial property. You know, there's lots of different strategies. And if you're not clear, then I think doing a good entry level course of some kind that covers a few strategies is a great way to start, because then you can get a sense of which one feels like a good fit, and you start getting the language and understanding, and then go further down a track that feels like it's going to be the best fit for you. Now, there are lots of property educators out there. There was one of our roundtable mentors does, I think, a specific style of property. Claire's nodding her head. I can't remember what she focused on, whether it's options or... Do you know, Claire? Can you pop it into the chat channel if you can't unmute yourself? Now, there are some of the bigger providers. So there is a property education school called PIN. PIN, Property Investors Network, run by Simon, a chap called Simon Zucci. So I did his entry-level three-day course, which I found really informative. You can often he'll do a two-for-one deal sometimes. Then you've got another educator called Progressive, and they do a bunch of different courses, less my style, but I don't want to influence people. They have a very salesy style of approach. I mean, all of them do because they're wanting to, and they're quite strong on the sales, but that's not necessarily to say that the quality of what they do isn't good. I just want to put that out there. And then you have lots more smaller individual property investors. There were PIN networking events that were happening all around the country. And that used to be a great place for you to be able to go and get some basic education, start meeting people. So I would put the feelers out to anyone that you know, and there might be people already in here that have done different courses, and start exploring. So already look at those two, and that might start to open up some avenues. But the key thing here is that you're at the point where education is fundamental. That's your next step to be able to get you to where you want to go. Obviously, with the current two properties, you know, get them set up in a way that means that they are hopefully cash flow positive, because you don't necessarily want to be going into, you know, some people like, oh, I can have a property for capital growth, but actually it's costing them £100 a month just to keep it going. So if you can get it, you know, in the short term, make sure the rental income is higher than the expenses is a fundamental principle. And if possible, have some buffer, and then get yourself some education. And you can even maybe use the money from the rental income as your starter seed fund for the education so that you can then do more. Does that give you what you need for now around that?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. Because we've kind of got to where we are through buying houses that needed doing up and then improving them. But they've always been just for family. It's not been as a commercial venture.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the obvious thing with this house would be to let it out. But I'm thinking of raising funds against the value of the properties to then invest. Yeah. And I guess the thing is to decide, is it better to do a buy-to-let or would I like another project?
But yeah. I think
after finishing building from scratch, I might want a break from building.
Yeah. and so it's great. So you've got a lot of experience. You've basically been doing it up so that, you know, from a property strategy perspective, that's called flipping, you know, where you take a property, do it up. Now you want to be thinking, and hopefully I'm not getting too niche for some of you, I'm trying to keep it quite simple and high level, that having as you've experienced, having the project cycle is like this. So you go through real peaks and troughs. You're like, you know, you buy the property, you're doing it up, money goes down, takes a lot of stress and energy and input, and then you get to the end, you sell the property, boom, then you've got a whole chunk of cash to do something else, and then you're off again. And it's like, so for some people they love it and that's great, and you can also be, you know, putting money aside from that and all the rest. For other people, they prefer to have a bit more of a stability of having the rental portfolio, which is deriving an income, and then or doing a combination of both, like building up a rental portfolio, you've got income, you can get yourself to the point where you have independence because your income is covering your expenses, and then you're in a place of real freedom. And then you can start going, oh, actually, maybe I'm going to borrow a bit more money to do a couple of development projects. You know, so lots is possible. I think you've got a lot of great thinking around this. And getting the education will mean you'll really be able to test some of those ideas and speak to people who've got experience in each of them, so you can make informed decisions rather than making more, you know, a combination of gut and your own personal experience.
Yeah, and I think your scenario, your the rental, building up the fund, and then maybe a project is probably the preferred route. Yeah, I think my husband, that would be his preferred route. My son would like to do the flips. So
yeah. Well, you know, again, you can do both. It's just the timing of it. And as you see, sometimes it's good to be able to get, there's enough instability in the world right now. So having a little bit of stability, maybe no bad thing, but see what works for you.
Yeah, thank you. That's really helpful.
You're welcome, Dom. So let's see, any other questions that have popped in? Okay. Oh yeah, so there's also Jill Fielding. So she's a female property educator. And with the thing with this is everyone's got their own style. And I think it's about finding the one that resonates most with you. That's the key thing when it comes to property thing. And then asking questions, like do your research, speak to people. Know that you're always going to get people with every course or every property educator. Some people will love it. There's always going to be the dissenters. And if somebody is saying, oh, don't go with them, I would always go a little bit deeper to figure out why. Did something specific happen, or have they just, you know, made their own opinion, not based on any hard evidence? I mean, like I can personally vouch, I know that Pin and Simon Zucci do great quality courses. When you get to the higher level, there's some people that have to spend a lot to do his mastermind, don't do anything with it. And it's the people who are the go-getters and the action takers that manage to perform. So there's always people that'll be able to go, oh gosh, well, you know, that isn't good for this reason. So Fielding Financial. Yeah. And I know one of the women who educates for Jill, who's really lovely. Anastasia. I'm noticing that I'm using some of my savings because of the salary sacrifices for the education from my monthly salary. Trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle with good food, gym, and take care of myself, but with less monthly income. I'm using those savings here and there. What would be better to drop off? Some of my healthy habits, or use this savings money to help out during this period and maintain momentum? Dipping into savings on a monthly basis due to salary sacrifices, even for education, puts me in stability. Well, it kind of depends. Are you in a situation where you can unmute yourself? I can't. I think you're not. You haven't got your video on. And if you say no, then just type no into the chat channel, and I'll do my best to answer based on what you said. Because that's.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hello.
Okay. Hi. Hello.
So tell me a bit about your situation. Roughly, what percentages are you able to allocate for each one based on what you've calculated?
No, it's not actually about the calculation, because that happened, the education part. I'm also doing the coach certification with one of many. So for that, I had to use a salary sacrifice with my employer. So they take £500 every month before I receive my salary. And I kind of noticed that with my lifestyle, like gym, healthy food, trying to take care of myself and everything, when I started tracking everything, because I usually, when I get money, I just move them to kind of savings account and then keep adding more to the current account, because I didn't want to leave a lot of money like on the account. And so now I'm noticing that I'm actually putting more than my salary back and spending. So kind of, That is the situation. So my savings slowly going down during this period, and it would be around probably another couple of months of that. So
Okay. I see what you, so are you still topping up your savings account through the Jam Jar system?
No, that's what kind of from my, because my salary is the only income, so that means that I'm not kind of topping up anything. As it turns out, I was kind of trying to allocate those things. And if so, I know how much I should be, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. So what we'd really encourage you to do is to, even if it's a really small amount, to be paying into each of the different pots, because it's about developing the habit. And I would never, me personally, suggest that you compromise on your health. However, you might want to look and see, are there ways that, okay, so in the ideal world, I'll be buying the most premium, you know, organic, fabulous food and supplements and all the rest. And maybe, and I'm speaking from my own experience and see if it resonates for you, but actually we can still have a healthy lifestyle without necessarily going that extra mile in terms of our spending. So you might want to just look at, absolutely maintain a healthy lifestyle. I think that's really important. And are you doing it in a way that's a bit luxury and can be scaled back in the short term? That's one thing I would say. And then, yes, know that sometimes we choose to have to increase a pot like education to be able to get us through something like doing coaching certification, and that's okay. So as long as it's, you know that this is a short-term conscious sacrifice, but as soon as you come out the other end, you'll go back to topping up, then I would say that's okay. It's got to be really, this is a thing, this it's personal, but the key thing that you do want to be doing is making sure that you are allocating, even if it's a small amount, something towards, because what you're basically doing, and that's why I ask you, it's really important that you calculate the percentages, because you know you've got a stable salary, yes, it's less, so you need to calculate the percentages. So of the money that I do have coming in, how am I going to split it up? And so what you're saying effectively is, for this short period whilst you're paying off a coaching cert, you have to increase the percentage that's going to increase the amount that's going to education and decrease the amount that's going into savings. And then maybe you can find that you can shave a little bit off your housekeeping because you might switch to some less luxury versions of the healthy thing that you're living with at the moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I understand the concept, but yeah, the problem is that the amount that I would get is like, I'm missing those 500 basically that they're taken away every time from the salary. And this is 500 that I could have allocated to savings and to contributions, which I do the contribution still. I kind of doing all of these allocations at the beginning of the month, but at the end of the month, I'm still dipping into savings kind of to, because I have to. But yeah, I understand. So if I think it will be okay for another 2 months if I will be using some savings and then I'll just start topping up, because education is important.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's it. I mean, if it's sometimes it's that short term sacrifice, but for the long term gain, because again, this is, if you think about it, the equivalent of having some good debt where you are paying for something, but this is going to bring a return, hopefully, right? You know, so coaching certification, you're doing that because you want to be able to move into coaching and generate an income. So if you make that commitment to yourself now, it's like, okay, I'm going to be sacrificing and I'm going to be taking out of my savings. And ultimately, the savings are also there to be, you know, to be spent. You might want to think about it as you're reallocating the savings towards education if you want to. That might be a better reframe for you.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean? Because you could see it that way.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But that's what was one of the things, is whether to move education there or not completely to savings. Okay.
So it's kind of, yeah. I mean, provided you make sure that you're on top of your numbers and you're conscious about it, and this is a conscious decision that you're making, and you're having to reduce certain amounts and increase certain amounts to be able to. So, that, I mean, effectively, that's still what you've done. Like, you're increasing the amount that's going towards education. You've brought down your savings. At the moment, it's none, but I would encourage you to put something in there. And even though, yes, you're having to take money out to be able to continue with the lifestyle stuff, but then look at, see what tweaks you might be able to make on the lifestyle stuff as well. Because sometimes we do have, you know, I don't know if you've already done this, go through and see what subscriptions have you got going out that maybe you don't need to be paying for, you know, any things that you could cut back on a little bit in the meantime.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so Linda's saying, yeah, it sounds like your salary isn't actually less, which is what I was saying. It's, you're still in the same amount, but the salary sacrifice is going straight to education. So effectively, you're increasing the education pot. So it's all conceptual, but provided we are not ending up in debt as a result. I love it, Belinda saying, personally, I feel like I am my best investment at the moment. Did coacher and now doing biz coaching to get myself in a higher income bracket. Yeah, absolutely. So any other questions, my lovelies? We have 10 more minutes together. How can I help you? And if you have all your questions answered, then we can go for lunch. Some of you started lunch. I'm making my Nicola's chomping away at something yummy. So I saw something. We don't save and send out the chat channel. We can't for GDPR reasons, even if we wanted to. So perhaps what you want to do is, if there's something that you want to save from the chat channel, now's the time to go through and save it. I'm sorry, I'm saying that because I noticed someone say something about asking, I think it was Joy asking about the chat channel, but we can't do that. Oh, Claire can smell a jacket potato. I'm so hungry now. So I'll give you, so what I'll do is basically, for those of you who are ready to go off and get your lunch, thank you for joining us. I hope that's been helpful. Keep up the good work. Keep plugging away. And what I'll do is I'll leave the chat channel open until 5:30 so that you can, if you want to, go through and pull out what you want. And then I'll close it at 5:30. But I want to be able to let those ones who are hungry and ready to get their lunch go. So lots of love to you all. We'll speak again in 2 weeks. Make sure you find some time, allocate some time in your diary to watch the videos. Keep plugging away at the exercises, jump in where you need to into the B1 group for support. And I look forward to speaking to you soon. Toodaloo.